Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Piffles Podcast, your premier Rough Rider fan podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Greg.
And we are without Amy. She's not feeling so well today, so we'll trudge on without her.
Let's be real. She's at home playing with a dog. Just kidding.
No, I wish that were the case. She's
I'm sure she's definitely ill. Fight you for you saying that, actually.
Yeah, like, I might go home and she's dead. Like, it's a very real possibility. That's how sick she is.
Poor thing.
Yeah. That was Beauty Killed the Beast, Make a Sound. Thank you guys so much for letting us use that song right off the opening. Give us a follow on Twitter, at PifflesPod. You can follow me, at RealAlexD.
Give me a follow, at Safamod.
And you can follow me, at Greg on Sports.
Give Amy a follow as well. She's at CFL Hottie Bowl. Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're also on Instagram. Just search PifflesPod. And make sure you check out PifflesPodcast.com for a whole bunch of great stuff. Tuesday takes that I have every week. Greg, CFL Slants. Steve, you got a whole bunch of stuff going up in there all the time. You did your power rankings for the first time the other day.
My way too early power rankings that people took way too seriously.
You had the Riders way too low, by the way.
I'm sorry. What were they, number two? Three.
Three.
Oh, yeah. They're number one.
We're number one. We're number one.
They will be this year, and that's almost a promise. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Check them out right now. $5.99 cheeseburger meal, and also between 3 and 5 happy hour. Half-price drinks. Great stuff going on there. Coming up on the show, we got the opening kickoff, Tallgrass Apparel, Engaging with the Enemy. We're going to have somebody join us from one of the other teams. A little spoiler there. Let you guess on which team that is. We'll see if we have a rant. Would you rather? The Cypress Hills Destination Area Piffles Player Profile. And we'll just talk a lot of great CFL stuff. So stick around for all that. Time right now, though, for the opening kickoff. Greg returns after one episode that he can't make, and he's still laughing at my intro for that. Come on, man.
That's
a good intro.
I find
that
so funny. I'm sorry.
That's
I can't help it.
Good intro. So,
are you guys going to fight about this like you fought about Greek food?
Oh, man. My rant of the week is why it's about Greg not liking Greek food.
I like souvlaki. I hate feta. You put feta in anything, it tastes like feet. I can't do it.
No, you taste like feet. I don't know how I know that, but you smell like them anyway, so you must taste like them. Riders.
It's just got awkward.
Yeah. The Riders making some headlines last week, signing John Ojo, defensive back, to a 2-year deal. For those that don't know who John Ojo is, he was a CFL All-Star in 2015 with the Edmonton Eskimos, another Chris Jones guy. Hurt his Achilles in 2016 and then actually signed in the NFL with the Jets in 2017. So he's going to take over that cornerback spot that now a current New York Jet, Casey Rogers, vacated when he signed with the NFL. So John Ojo, that pretty much completes the secondary, right?
I can't say how much I love this signing. I was looking, somebody put up a way too early depth chart for the Riders, and all I could look at was our defensive line, our defensive backs, and our receivers, and just how stacked all three of those units are now with John Ojo signing. If he's even half the player he was when he left Edmonton, this is a huge signing for the Riders.
I'd actually take it even further. Our defensive line, our outside linebackers, and our defensive backs, and with the only question mark being our middle linebacker, I feel sorry for any offense that comes into New Mosaic, just Mosaic now, I guess.
And it's not like our offense is anything to shudder at. The closer we get to training camp, the more I am excited about how much depth we have on this team compared to 2 years ago. And I know I say that every episode, and I'll probably say it all year long, but this is ridiculous.
It's true, though. The turnaround on this team in the past basically year and a half, calendar year and a half, has been incredible.
And still there's people that want Chris Jones fired.
And we'll be talking about that in a little bit. Spoiler alert.
John Ojo, Cresdon Butler. You have your kind of rotation at safety with Mike Edom, Marc-Olivier Briette, and Jeff Hecht, Javon Johnson, and Ed Gainey in the secondary.
I love the fact that you almost forgot Gainey listing all those players.
I was trying to go from field to,
gotcha
to short side, but no, I totally blanked on who. Yeah, I blanked on the All Star. Well, the guy who was in the running for most outstanding player on defense last year.
Who do you throw to? Who do you throw at? Especially given the fact that with that D line, they have no time to do it. What an embarrassment of riches!
I can't wait.
Oh, man. There's going to be people going into this season questioning the Riders' potential. I got called a homer for putting the Riders at number three. I'm sorry, but they were number three in the league last year, at the end of the year, tied with, who went out? Was it Edmonton?
That'd be Edmonton.
Yeah, tied with Edmonton. And we got better at every position we were weak at, with the exception of O-line.
And you could argue we got better at O-line too.
With Travis Bond.
Yeah.
The only question mark about our O-line, if you want to look at it, is are the young guys going to step up this year? Bledak has been very vocal that he's starter or bust this year.
That was a great article written by the Riders senior reporter, Ian Hamilton. That was a great article on Bledak.
And I love seeing young players that hungry, that confident in himself. And he had a hell of a rookie season last year.
Compare him to Josiah St. John. He's on, what, year three now of his tenure with the Riders, and you hear nothing about him other than today's scratches.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas Bledek walks in, makes the team, and he's still hungry. This is a rookie who really had no business making that O-line behind a number one pick. He rightfully should have been the seventh, eighth guy, but he hurtled in there, and he's still hungry for more. He still wants that starting job.
He should have been the healthy scratch all season, not St. John.
Nope.
And unfortunately, this is where we're going to find out what St. John is.
Yeah, this is going to be the telltale year. If he's bounced around a bunch and doesn't get a starting gig.
Well, training camp starts on May 20th, so we're just over a month and a half away from that. And the draft is less than a month away now.
This offseason felt short. There was just so much going on.
There was so much going on. The CFL release, the schedule release was a lot sooner, so that helped a lot. And then turn around and there's Riders making trades for Zach Kolaros.
And then CFL week.
And then we got, yeah, the free agency and CFL week.
But this is what the CFL week, this is what the CFL wants. They want to be a 12-month of the year business. And they've put together a strategy, and it's working. We're talking CFL constantly now.
And that's something that Jeffrey Orridge kind of started, and you can see Randy Ambrosi continue on and just elevate that to the next level, and we're seeing that growth in this league, and that it's only good news. More Rider news. Steve Mazurek, Vice President of Sales and Partnerships, retired last week. Again, there was another great article by Ian Hamilton of Riderville.com. On his retirement. So, Steve, we wish you the best in your retirement. He's one of those guys that will always be synonymous with the Riders.
And he, if you've ever read Hobson's book, I don't know if you guys have, co-written by Daryl Davis, local writer here. Great book. And they talk a lot about Mazurek's influence on the team and how he's basically Hobson's right-hand man through that entire rebuild when Hobson took over. And those two put their fingerprints all over this team and made it to what it is now. Yep. People forget how dark those days were.
He was a major part of this team's off-field success, and which that off-field success translates to on-field success, and he has a huge hand in that. So,
yeah, without Steve Mazurek, we're not talking about the 07 to 2013 years where Rider football became popular again.
We might not be in a new stadium, if we're being completely honest.
Speaking of new stadium and Steve Mazurek, he's the guy that gave me the tour of the new stadium, and he knew every inch of that place, yeah. You know, left, right, and center. That was a great tour given by him. Definitely wish him the best.
And one more retirement happening on Good Friday. John Chick, former Riders defensive end. Obviously, when Chris Jones here, he was one of the first major cuts. Him and Dressler were cut at the same time, right before a bonus was due. A lot of people upset about that, and I mean, deservedly so. The guy still went out and had 14 sacks his first year with Hamilton after he signed there. So the play didn't drop off. But last year, you could see the play drop off. Got traded to Edmonton midseason. And not the greatest way to end his career, but what a career that was. John Chick was absolutely phenomenal. We can go on and on. Everybody talked about how classy he was. I just want to say, I just want to get one thing from you guys. What's your favorite John Chick moment?
Ooh.
I'll start with mine. And that was the 2007, it was his rookie year, the Grey Cup. He had a sack in the Grey Cup game, and just seeing him jump up and just kind of the arm swing and fist pump when he got that sack, just so much energy. Him and Fred Perry on the ends, and then you had Scott Schultz in the middle there too. Like, oh, that was such a dominant D-line then. John Chick, he was phenomenal.
You know what? I know it's not a specific memory of one particular moment. It's the fact that this is a guy who played his entire career with type 1 diabetes, with an insulin pump throughout his career, and never once used it as an excuse, never let it slow him down. He had a motor that just would not stop.
He didn't let anybody slow him down. His motor was incredible. I don't think I've ever seen a player with that kind of motor before.
And that's what I was going to go to. Like, you never saw a guy like him. He just would not stop. He was a beast on the field. But if I had to pick a specific memory, when he came back from the NFL, and he's like, yeah, I had a bunch of different offers, but Regina is home. Saskatchewan is home. It sucked to see him go. I joked when him and Dressler got cut in the same day. 90% of Rider fans lost both jerseys they had in their closet.
Amy did.
Exactly. Because he was that popular with the fans because he was a beast. But yes, he was a great community guy. And he had a big family here. And like I said on Twitter, the CFL is better with him in it.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about the Riders' history, and a lot of fans right now became, I don't want to say they became fans in 2007 with that win, but you look at the history of Rider Nation, you know, we were there for the Bobby Jurison days. I don't know if I know a player between the two that was even close to the quality of player that John Chick was. But a lot of fans don't know anything pre-John Chick. That's all they knew. He was the guy. He was the best defensive end in Rider history. And it's hard to argue that.
Would you guys say that he was better than Bobby J?
That's tough.
I would say yes. I think it's kind of what saying Bobby J is the best Rider D end in Rider history. That's kind of a common thought, I would say.
I'd say yeah.
Right? Like you think who's the best? You probably think, right? Just that first name that comes to you is Bobby J, right?
Mm-hmm. If Chick played his entire career with the Riders, I think it'd be easier to say he was the best Rider whenever. And I understand Bobby J went to Toronto, but
that really didn't count.
Yeah,
you heard him last week. Heard him on the last episode. Yeah, that really didn't count. Yeah.
And also the way that the sour way he left town. I guess both of them left town sour, but you could tell Chick was really upset with how that went down. Dollars to donuts. I think Chick was a better athlete, flat out.
See, and I would say Chick was better than Bobby J. And Steve, you mentioned it because of that. Type 1 diabetes and the fact that he played with that, and that can't be easy, and how much more work this guy had to put in just to keep up, but also to be better than everybody else. Like, he was in, I don't think he got enough appreciation when he was here, looking back on it now. Like, we all loved him when he was here and we saw how good he was, but I think now that he's retired and we're starting to look back on his career, now we're seeing just truly how special he was.
See, and I'm going to go in the opposite way. I'm gonna say Bobby Jurison was the better player, but John Chick had the better motor. If you put John Chick's motor into Bobby Jurison's talent, not that Jurison didn't give 100% every play, but John Chick seemed to give 130%. I think John Chick had the better motor. He gave more, but I'd say Bobby Jurison was the better player.
There's no wrong answer.
Yeah, there's not. You flip a coin, you go. You're not wrong.
All I'm going to say is, could we be happy that Stevie Beggs wasn't the Riders' choice for Defensive Player of the Year?
Back in 2009. Yeah. So, John, congratulations on a spectacular career. And it's a shame he couldn't retire as a Rider. He still had a year left on his contract, I believe, when Edmonton took that over. So even if he were to, he would have to ask for a release or be cut to come back here and sign a one-day contract. So I'm curious if he doesn't sign his retirement papers. Actually, until his contract runs out, signs a one-day deal with the Riders to retire with us. But if Chris Jones is still around when that happens, I don't know if that does happen.
That might be the sticking point.
But Plaza of Honor, he'll be there, first ballot in my mind. We'll see him back in Saskatchewan, and it won't take very long for him to be back.
And there's one thing you can guarantee: if he signs a contract with the Riders at any point that year, the Riders will win the Grey Cup. 2007, 2013 were the two times he signed back. So. Get on that, Chris Jones.
We should sign him back for the one day.
That's the real reason the Eskimos won't give him a release.
Right. And one more thing I want to get to on the opening kickoff here. And I know people don't like hearing his name, but it drives interest. So I'm going to bring it up. And it's a big talking point in the CFL. Literally everybody's talking about it. Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, says he's going to play in the CFL if he doesn't get an NFL offer after this spring league that happens. Now, I don't want to get into will he play, will he won't he, kind of blah, blah, blah. Players like Greg Ellingson are now openly tweeting about how much the media focuses on him and not the players in the league. And we saw that. We were all at CFL Week, and we were right beside the TSN booth, and that's literally all they talked about all week.
I wanted
and
it didn't to matter punch who was, Dave Naylor.
And it didn't matter which player they interviewed. It came back to Johnny Football somehow.
And when they weren't interviewing players, they were doing spot hits about Johnny Manziel's pro day and Johnny Manziel's interview. I am tired of hearing about Johnny Manziel. I get it. He pushes the numbers. He gets the hits. Stop it.
So, okay, so I guess you just answered my question. Are you sick of Johnny Manziel? Steve, you say yes. Greg?
I think I made my opinion very very adamant on pifflespodcast.com /JohnnyFootballitis. I think that's what bothered me the most about CFL week. CFL week is to celebrate the CFL. And that's
and the players that are in it.
And the players that are in it and the players that are there. You are there to spotlight the players because until, unfortunately, CFL week, only locally were players getting the spotlight on them unless, say, it were superstars. And so CFL week was made to help that. But wouldn't like I said, we were stuck beside TSN and Naylor's talking Manziel, Farhan's talking Manziel, pro day this and pro day that. And you could tell, like, players were – you see them, their jaw clench whenever they heard Manziel's name because they're sick of talking about it.
I love it. I love seeing his name in there just because I love seeing all the different angles about it.
Don't get me wrong. If he signs with the league, I'm all for it too. I am happy if he signs with the league because I agree with you. It will put the CFL on the map in the States, whether you like it or not, because it's Manziel. And I think he actually – I'm not going the June Jones route thinking he's going to be the best quarterback ever. I think he will be a very good CFL quarterback. At this point, until he signs in the league, who cares? Like, the first couple times, okay, they're negotiating with him. That's fine. And now it's like, oh, he's throwing. Oh, the Riders and the Alouettes were scouting him. I'm like, well, they could have been looking at other players too, but – at this point, it's overkill, and unfortunately, we are just perpetuating the cycle.
Yeah, I want to move on before people start tuning out. Well,
but I hope he signs.
If he signs, then you will hear a lot more about him, not necessarily on our show, but you will hear a lot more about him in the future. Anyway, the opening kickoff is brought to you by Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Now, I want to talk about the CFL draft because we are just under a month away now, May 3rd. The Riders only have 5 picks. And I broke this down. So they have their first round pick, which is 5th overall. Second round pick, 14th overall. Their next pick isn't until the 5th round, 36th overall, which was acquired from Montreal in the Tavon Campbell trade. They have a 6th round, 45th overall, acquired from Hamilton in the Ricky Collins trade. And finally, an 8th round pick, 63rd overall, acquired from BC in the Mike Edom trade. Now, where did all these picks go to? Well, they traded the second round pick that they got originally in the Darian Durant Montreal trade to Hamilton. That was the 10th overall pick. That went to Hamilton for Zach Collaros. So basically, Darian Durant for Zach Collaros.
That's a win.
Plus, we got an additional 4th round pick on top of that, which got moved. But
I'll take that.
They traded their 3rd round pick to Montreal for Vernon Adams, who eventually got flipped for Charleston Hughes. Would you take Charleston Hughes for a 3rd round pick right now?
I'd say yes.
For even if it's a two-year rental?
Yes, please.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
Okay. 4th round pick went to Montreal for Andrew Liu. They forfeited their 5th round pick for taking linebacker Brandon Bartlett in the 2017 supplemental draft. So I think, you know, the guy made the roster right there, a 5th round pick making the roster and being special teams and possibly rotating in at middle linebacker this year. That's a win for me. Traded the 6th round pick to BC in the Mike Edom trade. 7th round pick went to Hamilton in the Ricky Collins trade. And their original 8th round pick went to Edmonton for Cedric McKinley, who got cut last year in training camp. So whatever, it's an 8th round pick. So that's what happened with the Riders draft picks for this year. Really quick, we're going to just talk about the first 2 rounds right now. Where do the Riders go? I know we don't, I'll admit I don't know everything about college football and CIS especially. Like I just don't have time to follow that as much as I would like to. So instead of throwing out names, positions. Where should the Riders draft round 1 and round 2, Steve?
Wide receiver, defensive line, in that order. We're weak at wide receiver right now behind Rob Begg and Devin Bailey. And the D-line, while great, is aging. I mean, Eddie Steele and Zach Evans are no spring chickens. They're not, Evans isn't old by any stretch. He's still got a few years left, but
And if you want to start both of those guys as your two starting defensive tackles, you got to have backups.
Yeah, exactly.
Canna Henry right now is the only guy that on the roster that can do that. You add another guy, top two rounds. That's a good person to have developed behind two really good defensive tackles.
The only spot I'd add in there is middle linebacker if there's a stud that can come in and play.
Greg?
Pretty much reading my mail there, although I wouldn't put a premium on the receiver as much as the defensive line. But you also can't go wrong by drafting O-lines in this league. Blue's getting up there. Dykowski's not going to be here that much longer either, probably. So you also, I know we drafted some young guys last year, but as proven by Josiah St. John, we don't know what we actually have in the young guys yet.
And they're all medium to late round draft picks.
Exactly.
Middle to late round draft picks. So.
And the only reason I didn't say O-line is the one thing we've all heard from this draft is it's, as always, very heavy in potential O-linemen. That's it. I mean, the only scary thing is we pick in the first two rounds and then nothing until five.
And that brings me to one quick question before we move on to something else here. Do the Riders make a trade to go back into the third or fourth round?
Yes, they do.
I don't see how they can't. And I think it's going to be probably out of our wide receiver depth, if I had to take a guess at it.
What he said, pretty much word for word.
You guys don't think Dykowski is moved? Because that's the number one name that gets thrown around right now. Peter Dykowski got traded, and we'll put Bladak at guard, and Josiah St. John is the sixth, or whoever else wins the sixth in training camp. So, and that would cut a lot of salary, which is ultimately good in an SMS world. So,
I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I just don't think it's unless you are 100% certain on Bladak, and I believe in him. I don't think you make that move, especially considering Labatt's injury history. Because you drop Labatt, that leaves you with, you're shuffling the line again. And Clark went down last year too to injury. The ratio is too fragile to lose a veteran O-lineman like Dykowski. And that's why they went and traded for him.
Yeah, I'd say they don't move Dykowski. If they do, and I could see them making that move based on youth and potential, not until camp, till they know what they've got in Bladak, in St. John. If Campbell comes back and they have that extra Canadian in Messam, they can maybe go three imports. But until camp, I can't see them moving from there.
They can't go three imports. Unless that line's going to be absolute dominant, they cannot do that. That's just going to hurt the team in the long run.
Yeah, I don't, like I said, like C was saying, if they do move Dykowski, it's not going to be before the draft.
And I agree, it won't be before the draft. It'll be before training camp for a pick next year. And Dykowski will get you the bigger return than a receiver will, depending on who that receiver is. Because if you're looking at a Chad Owens, Bakari Grant, one of those, the third or fourth kind of guys, you might get a fourth round for him. You might. No guarantees on it. You might get more. I don't know. I'm not the one making deals here. But realistically, teams are probably expecting, the Riders are going to have to cut one of them. And really, import receivers, teams aren't hurting too bad for it. If one comes available, absolutely, they'll go for it. But really, that's a pretty easy spot to fill. But I do not think the Riders make a trade to get into the third or fourth round. And I said that on my Tuesday takes. I think they're better off going with what they have, saving all the assets they have, and trading them before or during training camp for picks next year. And build the draft next year. Because right now we're set with Canadians for this year. They're not the super high-end elite Canadians that you're going to find. Our team's obviously not full of Alex Singletons and
our future middle linebacker?
Yeah, our team's not full of Alex Singletons. So I think they build up those picks for next year.
Now let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Are you okay going into this year's draft with five picks?
I would obviously like to be where Hamilton is and have five picks in the first 20 picks overall and nine total picks. I'd much rather be there because you have obviously a better chance of developing Canadian talent the more you have. But right now, yeah, I'm okay with it. And I'm, last year I kind of harped on how the depth of the Canadian talent isn't there and it still really isn't. But I think signing Jerome Messam and getting Zach Evans back adds a lot of flexibility. I would stay where they are. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a move, but I wouldn't do it. unless that move blows me away, unless I know that I'm going to cut, you know, a Bakari Grant, a Chad Owens, and I'm not advocating that they do that because those guys were important to the team last year and they're going to be vastly important in 2018. But if you get, if you can somehow get a second round pick for Chad Owens and a fourth or something next year, I think you make that trade. You'd have to be, I don't want to say stupid to not make that trade, but that's something you would seriously have to look at.
Well, and that's what I think it would be. It would be a receiver, a pick next year, and that way you can slide it up into this year's draft a little higher. But yeah, I don't know what they're going to planning on doing. Like, and, but speaking of Hamilton, though, that's totally a Tillman move. Stockpile all those picks.
Yeah, and right now, they've already won the draft. You have five picks in the first 20 overall. You're laughing. It'll be an interesting month leading up to the CFL draft. What kind of moves are made from teams from now until then, and then on draft night itself. But we'll talk about that as the draft gets a little bit closer. And Steve, by the way, I'm with you guys, wide receiver, D-line. And Steve, I would go in that order as well. I'd go receiver first round, D-line second round. But
well, if you want to believe the predictions out there, the Riders are taking a wide receiver at 5.
Yes,
and
you know what?
And we've seen him, and he's a tall dude.
The best part about that, having not seen that mock draft, we were sitting at CFL week, Alex looked over at the group of receivers, picked out the tallest guy, and goes, that's the guy Chris Jones is going to want. And when he did his three cone drill, I looked at Chris Jones, and he was sitting there. He had his eyes on him, and he was staring at him, and that's the guy that, I can't remember which, I think it was the 3-Down Nation mock draft, had the Riders taken. I think it was Simon Eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe we got a future in this whole scouting business.
Well, time to move on here. This week, just for fun, we're going to, you know what? Let's do our Tall Grass Apparel, Engaging with the Enemy. And this week we're going to call the Hamilton Tiger Cats our enemy because they have all those draft picks that I'm so super jealous of. And actually, we had the chance recently to sit down and talk with Tiger Cats receiver Speedy B, Brandon Banks. Here's a bit of our chat.
The first part of the season was definitely tough one, but at the end of the day, you got to be professional and just go to work every day and hopefully things turn around, which you did for us. Second half of the season, you know, it was great, but we didn't make the playoffs, so it was still kind of a disappointment, but we got something to build off of, and this year, hopefully, we continue it.
Now, you mentioned the momentum from 2018. How do you see that, or from 2017, how do you see that building into 2018 and the current roster?
I think it's great. Like I said, we got all our big-time free agents back, and then we got our number one quarterback, and then we got June Jones back, which was almost a big difference within the season last year. So the opportunity is there for us, and I think we need to get back on the winning side of things.
So outside of football, what does Brandon Banks do to keep himself busy?
Oh, man. I got kids. I got two kids. I take care of my kids. That's pretty much kids and just Madden. That's about it.
Who's your team in Madden?
I'm feeling everybody, but right now, Seahawks.
Now, we just saw Tom Hugo make the CFL Hall of Fame as a two-way player playing that. Now, obviously, you play two ways. If you saw yourself on defense, where would you end up?
Oh, I'd be over there in that boundary corner on the island blocking stuff up. You know what I'm saying? Catching about 6 or 7 picks a game. You know what I'm saying? Oh. I could play corner a little bit. You know, that's where I actually started off in high school. Led state in picks. So I got a little bit of quarterback in me.
We saw Deron Carter pick off, for a pick six, right? So why not Brandon Banks?
Right, I can do it.
Now, if you weren't a professional football player, what would you be doing right now?
I wasn't a professional football player. I like trying to own a business, some type of business. I want to be a business. I'm actually in the process of doing that now, trucking business. I just want to put on a suit and tie every day and be running a company. So business type of company.
Now you get yourself an 85 DeLorean, a flux capacitor. Right. You're going back in time. Where are you going? Or forward in time, I suppose.
Oh, man. Where would I go going back in time? I don't know. To be honest, I really don't know. I'm a guy that always just live in the moment, so I don't know. I really don't look like things like that.
Now you're eating on your cheat day. What is the go-to meal?
Cheat day, fried chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Some greasy fried chicken. I try to stay away from there.
Get all fix and stew?
Oh, yeah. So, I'm a macaroni type, you know, but cheat, I got macaroni, fried chicken.
Oh, yeah.
But if I don't cheat, I eat baked chicken, you know. more healthy, but I can cheat fried up.
Now, if you could sit down, talk to anybody in history, dead or alive, any single person, who's Brandon Maxx talking to?
Any single person, dead or alive. It's probably like Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King, what type of guy he was. Very powerful.
Hey, and so, dogs or cats, and why?
Neither, I don't fight animals.
No,
I don't like animals at all.
Really?
I don't like bugs or animals. Of course, I like a little girl right now, but I really don't like them. I don't want a dog in my house, I don't want a cat in my house. But if I had to choose, I'd definitely choose a dog. Yeah, I guess it's more masculine.
There's our chat with Brandon Banks from the Hamilton Tiger Cats here on the Tallgrass Apparel, Engaging with the Enemy. Time now for a rant.
Let's get ready to rumble!
And this goes back to something that was said earlier in the show. Greg, you said you don't like feta cheese. I can get behind I can't get behind it, but I can understand the whole I don't like Greek food and souvlaki, but not everything else. But feta cheese, really, Greg? Feta cheese is fantastic. And you know what? I'm going to turn off your mic, so you're done for now. That's my rant.
Short and sweet.
Honestly, if anybody could have heard, we should really request our civilized discussion.
It was discussion.
We had two gentlemen talking in the cab in Winnipeg.
We'd first have to remember the name of the cab company we called.
It wasn't Duffy's because that was the one on the other side of the street. I asked if they were good or not, but yeah, we got into quite the discussion.
Discussion, yes.
On Greek food.
Being an impartial viewer to this discussion, it was both fantastic and terrifying because I was fairly certain, you know, fists were going to start flying. You guys were taking that way too seriously. Also, feta cheese sucks.
Blue cheese sucks.
I agree.
Also true.
I agree with you on that one, yes.
Okay. Feta cheese smells... I can get with that.
It's all right.
Just keep feta cheese away from me and I'm good.
Yeah.
I like almost everything else.
More for me. Great. Yeah. Excellent.
It smells like feet.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. Greg smells like feet. We went over this earlier.
No, you said he tasted like feet.
Yeah, because he smells like feet. I'm assuming that he tastes like feet.
I don't know where
so anyway, story guys, let us know who's right here. Greg obviously isn't a fan of Greek food. I love Greek food. That's one of my favorite things. I love going out for Greek food.
I know Greek people who aren't fans of Greek food. I think I win.
Food is subjective, right? I mean, it's all taste buds. Everybody's taste buds are different. It's like the whole butter tart debate. It's a good thing we all like raisins in our butter tarts, right?
Hashtag no raisins.
Wait, what?
What?
No, I'm no raisins.
Get the
you
hell out.
You are wrong about everything Get food out. Related, Greg. Why did we hire this guy?
He makes good designs.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's true.
And he leaves more good food for us.
Yeah. So tell us, where do you guys stand on this? And we're not getting into the butter tart debate. Greek food, that's the debate of the week. Yay or nay? Let us know on Twitter. Who's right? Am I right or is Greg right?
Greg's right.
Greg's wrong. We could do this all day. All right. We got to move on here. Time for Would You Rather. And actually, Greg, I'm going to let you do this because you said you had a question. You didn't tell us what it is. And I'm looking forward to this because I always like that little element of surprise. So you're taking over Would You Rather this week. Go ahead.
This one especially is written for Alex. Would you rather for the rest of your life listen to the Spice Girls or Katy Perry?
Wow. I love both of them so much.
The amount you're concentrating on this actually scares me.
I have a question before he continues, just to interject.
Music videos or no?
No. Does Katy Perry exist in this world? Can he still post Katy Perry GIFs?
Oh, yeah. No. This is just listen to.
This is just the music.
Just the music.
Okay.
If you could
okay.
only listen to one artist for the rest of your life between the Spice Girls or Katy Perry.
Because having been involved in many of those Twitter chains with Katy Perry gifts, which I'm not complaining about, that may swing the favor. So I just had to make sure.
Okay. I've seen Katy Perry in person, so she gets an edge up on that. Spice Girls have not done the reunion, which they've talked about like 50 billion times. The Spice Girls songs were much more massive than Katy Perry's songs. Their songs were better, but Katy Perry's library of songs, like she has more. So it comes down to quantity versus quality. I'm not a big fan of Katy Perry's new stuff.
What? No Swish Wish?
No. Not a fan of that at all, actually.
Keep in mind, No Katy Perry music, no left shark.
See, and that's a different debate because I actually think it was the right shark that was wrong, by the way. Left shark did what he was supposed to do.
Patriots Super Bowl win, by the way.
Didn't count. Cheaters. Jeez.
Does that mean no Katy Perry music?
No. Spice Girls. Spice Girls. I think their songs are just too damn good. Like, everybody will throw out Wannabe. That's the first one you think of, which is a great song. But Say You'll Be There. I like their slow stuff, like Mama, To Become One, Viva Forever, Saturday Night Diva. Like, oh, man, those are just amazing songs. Who Do You Think You Are? That might be my favorite one, actually.
That's actually that's a good one. That's one of my favorite ones.
Spice World, like the movie. I collected the gum when the Spice Girls, because I was like 10 years old when they came out. And like that was a big thing back in like 1996. So they had the gum and you got a sticker on the inside. With the gun, like Bazooka Joe kind of style gun. Like the gun was terrible, just like Bazooka Joe. Yeah. But you got the sticker with it. So my binder for school, it was just plastered in Spice Girls stickers. So I think nostalgia wins over anything current pretty much any time. So I will go with Spice Girls. But
here we go.
Damn it, that's hard.
That was not a tough question for me at all. Spice Girls, easy.
And that's why I didn't put Lady Gaga in there, because I knew exactly what the answer was.
Oh, yeah, Lady Gaga wins.
Yeah.
She's the queen. See, and I would have found it easier if you would have said NSYNC versus Backstreet Boys. Backstreet Boys all the way.
Oh, yeah. They're the better group. JT was the bigger star.
Yeah, absolutely. But, oh, man, that's a good question. Damn. Okay, so I'm going to throw that out to the viewers. Not necessarily who could you only listen to, but
who's better,
Spice Girls or Katy Perry, musically.
But if you want to use GIFs, by all means.
Yeah, we like pictures, we like GIFs. So send those in of Spice Girls and Katy Perry. I was a posh Spice guy, by the way. That was Victoria Beckham. Whew. Yep.
Baby Spice.
Jerry Halliwell.
I like that we all have different ones. That's good. Anyway, we got to move on here.
Greek food's still awesome.
Time now for the Cypress Hills Destination Area Piffles Player Profile. I really want to know. All right, so he's now the face of the franchise and leader of the team. Starting quarterback Zach Kolaros joined us after his TSN photo shoot at CFL Week, and he talked about coming to Saskatchewan.
Obviously, Mosaic Stadium, probably one of the nicest stadiums in the league right now, and the fan base. So what most are you looking for? The stadium, the fans, or the combination of everything?
I'm really looking forward to just the training camp and getting there with my teammates and becoming a team. That's really what the training camp is about. Obviously, the facilities speak for itself. The fan base is amazing. I've had to play out there 7 times against them, and it's not fun playing against Rider Nation, so I'm excited to be a part of it. But I'm really looking forward to getting in the locker room, meeting the guys, and getting to work, man, and getting ready for the season.
And you're paired up with Brandon Bridge as top 2 quarterbacks on the team. Going into training camp, kind of what's your mindset going up against somebody that also wants that starting job?
I mean, I would hope that 4 guys want the starting job, like it happens at every camp, right? So that's nothing new to anybody. There's always competition, and I'm going to approach the way I always do.
Taking us away from this, Tom Hugo made the Hall of Fame this past year, play on both sides of the ball, 12-time All-Star. In 7 seasons, if you could play on the defensive side of the ball, where would you play?
Wow. Like, if I was talented enough to play anywhere?
Sure.
Wow. Probably DN, just a rush end. I probably wouldn't defend the run very well, but I'd shy it after the quarterback all the time.
What do you find is the hardest hitting defensive end in the league?
Wow. I think I've been hit more by Charleston than anybody else, so... I definitely felt the full time.
Certainly, you don't have to worry about that this year.
I know. When they signed him, I was like, thank God.
It's always a bonus when he's on your side, isn't it?
Yeah. He's going to be annoying at practice. Do
you trash talk or no? Or you keep your mouth shut, just let your game do the talking?
I think, I think some guys overdo it, and try to do it for the camera and all that stuff. I think it just happens naturally. And if a guy's talking to you, you talk back. But, I usually don't go out of my way to trash talk somebody, but something to me, I'm not going to back down.
So obviously last year,
tough year for you with Edmonton, coming into Saskatchewan, when you have pretty much a loaded offense here. What's your personal goals this year, besides winning a Grey Cup?
Yeah, really the goal is the Grey Cup and winning games. And you know, really just do whatever I can help team. You know, personally, I'm not going to get into what I want to accomplish from a yardage standpoint, a professional standpoint, because that stuff really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. What matters is winning and doing what the coaching staff asked me to do. You know, handling myself the right way in certain situations, getting the ball out of my hands, and knowing where to go with football. That's really all I can control. And if you do those things the right way all the time, the numbers, they come, and those personal goals become reality.
Now, when you're not preparing for football, working out, training, anything like that, what keeps Zach Claros busy?
Man, I just usually hang out with my fiance, you know, and either her family or from home, my family. So I'm pretty low key guy.
Who inspires you, past or present, right now?
Wow, that's a tough one. My parents probably inspire me the most out of anybody. The older you get, the more you realize the sacrifice it takes to raise a family. And everything they've done for me in my life, I can never repay them. So I think they're probably my biggest inspiration.
You get an 85 DeLorean, you get a flux capacitor with it, you get the time travel. Where are you going? Where's the first place you go to?
That's a tough one. I really, the prohibition era is something always I'm kind of fascinated in, so probably the 20s, something around there. Not during the Great Depression, but, you know.
The Untouchables.
Great Gatsby time, drinking old-fashioned Manhattans and stuff like that, you know, probably that time. You got to wear a suit to go everywhere.
So you get the Ford Explorer to go with it?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah, probably that.
Last word to you, new to Rider Nation, what do you want to say to Rider fans?
I can't wait to get out there and get to work. I appreciate all the support that you guys have given me since I've signed. I can't wait to get out there in the community, get some work done there, but you know, most importantly, you know, bringing back wins for this organization and for you guys, fans, and I can't wait to get out there and bring them away.
There was your starting quarterback for the 2018 Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and people will probably argue with me on that because they want Brandon Bridge to be the starter because he's been here longer. But you know what? Sorry, you're wrong there. I like Brandon Bridge, but this is Zach Claros' team. Zach Claros joining us here on the Cypress Hills Destination Area Piffles Player Profile. That's going to do it for us this week on the Piffles Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Next week's show, we're going to have the latest Rider news. We'll talk a little bit more about the CFL draft. Maybe the Riders have a couple more picks. Maybe they have less. Who knows? But we'll talk the latest Rider news and bring you more interviews and a whole bunch of good stuff. And maybe we'll come to an agreement on a food item once in a while. Maybe we'll see if that happens
pizza? Next
episode.
Like pizza?
Of course.
Pineapple?
Absolutely.
There we go.
We're good.
Pineapple's my favorite fruit, though. Like, I could just sit there and eat it all day long. So it doesn't matter if it's grilled. You could throw it on a pizza. I could have it raw. Yeah, pineapple all the way, 100%.
There we go.
So check out piffles.com where you can find all the latest Rider stuff and other CFL content. Give us a follow on Twitter. You can follow us at PifflesPod. Follow me at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at Safamod.
And follow me at Greg on Sports.
Don't forget to give Amy a follow as well at CFL Hottie Bowl. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're on Instagram as well. Just search PifflesPod. Don't forget that there are still some tickets available for the Piffles Podcast Banjo Bowl bus. We're going to the Banjo Bowl and we're taking 50 of our closest friends. So if you want in, there's still a few tickets left. There's not much. So send us a message right away if you want in on that. We're going to go to the game on the Saturday. We'll have time to tailgate before the game and we'll come home on Sunday. So we'll stay the night in Winnipeg, have a lot of time, and we'll have some prizes and a whole bunch of other stuff to go along with that as well. So if you want to go to the Banjo Bowl, let us know and we'll get you on the bus. And as always, Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive here in Regina. A special thank you to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty, Tallgrass Apparel, Cypress Hills Destination Area, and Coney Island Poutine Cafe for their support to make this show possible. Thanks for listening to the Piffles Podcast, your premier Saskatchewan Rough Rider fan podcast. We're going to leave you with some more Beauty Killed the Beast. Check them out on Facebook. This is their song, Hometown.